Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Away we go with this. This is Dan Dockich with us moments ago about Donovan Mitchell's minutes in this series. He only played 34 back on Sunday in the loss to the Indiana Pacers.
When I hear players say, well, I played 42 minutes. I'm like, really? 42 minutes out of a 24-hour day? 42 minutes, how many times did you actually run? How many times were you standing in the corner? How many times were you standing on defense? How many times were you standing at the free throw line? You got a timeout every 4 or 5, whatever it is, minutes. I know that makes me old. I know that makes me, you know, out of touch. I understand load management, but it's BS. You got to play 40 minutes. You got to play 45 minutes if you're a damn superstar. I mean, what are we paying you for? I mean, what are we paying for? You beat the Clippers in the middle of what, January? My ass.
Dead Dockich.
I am looking at the minutes. I know it was an overtime game last night, so factor that in. Mikal Bridges, 51 minutes. Jalen Brunson, 44. Ananobi, 46.
Why was he only playing 30?
Josh Hart, 45.
He only playing 30?
You can take 4 or 5 minutes off those numbers because it was overtime. They're still much more than the Cavs. So there is a question, and it reinforces what Joe Vardon talked about yesterday on the afternoon show, which is, are the Cavs too conservative when it comes to this? I will say Donovan looks spent. In the 34 minutes that he played.
Is he battling an injury we don't know about?
Well, it seemed like in the locker room afterwards that he was a little worse for the wear.
I saw him look spent last year in 42 minutes a game.
Yes.
I think he's going to look spent if he played 28 minutes in a game. Let's see what he does.
Well, they might
get his ass out on the court.
Are they owing tonight?
He's our best player.
Or he's going to play.
And
we've re-signed him. He's getting 45 minutes tonight. He's getting. I mean,
he better get 44 minutes at least.
If Evan,
that's
and
my
Darius,
over under. If it's under 44 minutes, it's a problem.
Really?
Unless they've won by 25 and they've controlled the whole second half.
Or they're down 25.
Well, I'm coming for your ass, Kenny.
Whoa, hey, I'm at. Wait, this is Kenny Atkinson, not me. Because I didn't ask.
Your name's Ken, and you have an ass. I'm coming.
I didn't know about it because I'm gonna tell you this. I made an excuse. I really did. I thought, man, he's not going to gas him out. He doesn't have Darius Garland. We don't know when he's coming back. None of you want to hear that, so I guess I'll just shut up about that.
Well, this series could be over by Monday morning, and you can go, well, at least he's not gassed out.
Josh and Berea, you're first up on the fan. Hello, Josh.
Oh, man, it's been fun listening to you guys this morning. I have a little grievances. I've heard 3 of the dumbest things from callers and probably one of you guys this morning.
Power rank them,
right,
Josh.
What is it, Josh?
Let's go.
Power rank them now.
All right,
go.
First one.
Power rank them. Hit the music.
I'm hearing fans saying I'm not worried about the Pacers. You should be worried about the Pacers. You should respect them. They're a good team. Stop with this nonsense. B, the Celtics didn't lose because they got out physical. They lost because they shot 63s and missed 45 of them. And the Cavs are not weak. Guys, the only reason why we got back in that game is because of our physicality, not because we were nailing threes. And what was the backbreaker at the end of it all was Nembhard's back-to-back threes in the fourth quarter. That's what ended the game.
Well, I don't think...
Our physicality got neutralized because they made 19 threes.
Josh.
Did you just do a power ranking with letters as opposed to numbers?
That's okay.
Yeah, you know, hey.
Wow.
You know, hey.
You throw it in a little bit different there. All right, Josh, going
that
back to the week
thing.
Seems
like more of a subcategory.
I'm trying not to call it weak. If they lose...
Power rank your favorite letters. Let's go.
Let's go, Josh. What do you got?
My favorite letter is S, baby.
You know what? I was going to say that. You stole my thunder.
You know, S is my favorite for slippery wizard.
I was
going to
say,
you know what I mean?
F, and then I bet you can guess the next two. Josh.
I got two letters.
Josh. Cavs. The Cavs aren't weak, but you know what's going to be said tomorrow if the Cavs lose. Because this is turning into the great big physical thing. And one team's physical and one team's not. You know where this is going. Whether it's right or wrong, that's where this is headed. One team's being physical, the other team's not being physical, and that's what's going to be blamed.
How are the Cavs not being physical in that game? This is where I'm going to literally
They own the points in the paint. I understand. I agree with you. Like Jim Correo, Ken, so it appears, quote, physicality has become the NBA equivalent of Stefanski play calling when it comes to lazy excuses for losses. Got it. Predictably, if they win tonight, they were more physical, blah, blah, blah. I dig what Jim's saying, and I dig what you're saying, Josh. But perception's going to become reality at some point here. I got my main player playing 34 minutes. I got other players banged up. We're being told we're the most conservative team with injuries in the NBA by Joe Varden from The Athletic. Sorry. If it looks like a duck, it walks like a duck. What are they going to say?
Are we conflating injuries with toughness? Because that's like, this sounds like Jared Allen BS from last year all over again.
But what they're saying is,
a guy getting injured has nothing to do with toughness.
I dig that.
Mobley got hurt because of a missed call. Miles Turner landed in his closeout space, and they didn't call the call. That's not Mobley's fault for him being weak. That's a guy doing something illegal that should have been four free throws.
I totally agree.
But I guess officials don't dictate games, according to Anthony Lima. But that's neither here or there. Missed calls... And things that didn't go away could change.
All right. Josh, thank you for the call. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. We appreciate it. The physicality, whether it's warranted or not, and I think in some ways it's not, doesn't matter. Just because I said I think in some ways, guys, that's been following them around since the Knicks series 2 years ago. I can fight this all I want, but you know it's a losing battle. You know exactly what other teams think of your team. You know exactly what other fan bases think of your team. And it's a blue-collar Midwestern city, so it bothers us. It bothers every city. You could be from Miami, Florida. If you tell people from Miami they ain't tough, they're going to start talking tough on you and start to say the things that they've been through as opposed to what people in Cleveland have been through. Every city in America hates not being called tough. So when your team is not being called tough and is in fact being called weak by some of those people, it's going to bother you. It's going to bother you, but don't hate me for it. I'm trying to fight it as much as anybody. But when Joe Varden says, well, they're awful conservative about the injuries, okay, are we just holding guys out for what? What are we going to hold them out for? I would believe in the postseason, they are significantly injured to the point they're not going to be able to play. So to say anything different from that right now is irresponsible. I can imagine if Evan Mobley's able to go, he's going to go. Darius Garland, I think, wanted to go, and that's why he practiced on Friday. He wanted to go, then on Sunday he couldn't go.
Yeah,
I wondered if he pushed it too far.
I wondered, too, if there was some sort of a setback, a re-aggravation, or just knows that it's the playoffs. You're playing against a Pacer team that is running up and down. They're ripping the ball the net after makes. Like, that is not easy. Plus, the way he plays basketball, he's not just a guy who's going to sit in the corner and wait for shots. Like, that's not his game.
Any chance they wanted to see how this game or how the series was going to go, and they were like, well... We can still win without him.
Yes. Yeah, I do think that's part
of
it.
Yes, of course. Okay. That
makes me feel better.
Does it come back to haunt him?
That doesn't make me feel better than if it haunts him.
I don't want a haunting.
216-474-0092. But again, going back to what Mitchell, I'm going to get to the other phones here in a second. I can deny it all I want. But this is what the rest of the league thinks of you. Until you change that thinking. I don't know how you change that thinking other than... getting through, I can't put myself in your bodies. I'm sure that Evan Mobley is in some significant pain with an ankle injury, and I'm sure that Darius Garland can't really shove off with a toe injury. I'm not accusing you of being weak and soft, but we heard Dan Dockett, you heard the other clip, like, yeah, there's a lot of people around the league who do not think that you're the toughest group out there. And that is a sincere insult to a fan from Cleveland. To be called not tough is the worst thing you can call a team. You can be 0-7. You can be 0-82. I swear to God, if you're out there hauling off and making guys pay for it every time, they'll accept you. People will accept bad toughness. They will. They cannot accept, even if you're good, because then they won't be able to count on you in the big moments. Because if you're being held out and there is any question about whether or not they actually could play, we find that out after this series, you lose this series, heaven help you. Because again, Mitchell Robinson 2 years ago, last year, the shot, not the shot. Should he have taken the shot? Should he have not taken the shot? To the point J.B. Bickerstaff was taking swings at the guy at the end of the season. Okay, that this will be 3 years in a row. You have to break that. I don't know. I don't know, because I'm not one of you. I'm not in I'm not in the dressing room. I don't know what you're actually going through.
The absolute timing of this is just hard.
I'm not
going to
accuse you of being weak, but that's what they're saying.
It's just brutal, the timing of what's going on. And the one I'm more nervous about than any of this stuff, including Darius, is the Evan Mobley thing. Because if Evan's got an ankle that is going to cost him a couple of games or something, that changes everything. I mean, Vegas would change the line of the series if they knew that. That's how significant that would be. Darius is a big-time player, and they can't win a championship if Darius isn't going to be there the rest of the year. And he will be, obviously. Rest has apparently been the key for him. But Evan, they cannot. They cannot reasonably go on a deep run. As good as Donovan is, I don't think they could do that. Because now all of a sudden your defense becomes just an average NBA defense.
Yep.
And that changes the complexion of everything.
216-474 to below 92. I don't know what you're going to have to do to get tougher. And it sounds like such an easy thing to say that takes no analysis whatsoever. But when the guys themselves mention the physicality of the beginning of this series in the postgame after a loss, when you have what you've had, again, historically with this group over the last couple of years, it takes its toll on the fan base. And they will start to revolt against the lack of toughness. Physicality, the big key to everything, and Jared Allen talking about the narrative of the Cavs being soft and trying to shake it as we get ready for Game 2 against the Indiana Pacers tonight. And to preview it and to talk about those injuries and the possibilities and legitimacy or illegitimacy of the Cavaliers being a soft team, we welcome in Jared Greenberg, TNT NBA TV. He is on Twitter at Jared S. Greenberg. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Jared, thanks for joining us.
Hello, boys. How are you?
Well, we'd be doing a lot better if the Cavs were up 1-0 instead of down 0-1 and there's more injuries. What, you shocked us on Sunday because it was like,
whoa.
Oh,
what'd I do?
Well, it wasn't your fault.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jared.
I tuned into the game and I hear Jared Greenberg go to they cut to you and here's what you said.
Darius Garland dealing with a frustrating injury, a sprain of his left big toe, which is keeping him out for a third straight game, an injury that requires rest to heal. The good news, I've been told, is there's no structural damage. However, Garland continues to battle significant swelling and pain. He will remain day-to-day and could play in Game 2 on Tuesday. In fact, he just came out into the court. I talked to him briefly, and he feels confident he will be able to play Tuesday. However, if this was the regular season, Garland would likely be shut down for another week to 2 weeks to stay off of the toe. This injury described to me as a major burden for a shifty point guard who needs to push off with confidence.
Audio courtesy of TNT. Jared, it's a great report. That's why we played it again. But you made me go, jeez. Because if we don't have Darius, I mean, Jared, like that's a significant blow here. And then we find out after the game that Evan Mobley's banged up and they're dropping like flies here. My God, do we know? Can you give us a preview of statuses for Game 2 here? Do you know?
Are you ready? Drum roll, please.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Yeah, I've got no idea.
Jared, doggone it. Damn it.
You know, I think it's going to be a repeat of what we had the other day. I think, you know, the big indicator the other night was that Darius didn't even come out and warm up. That meant he and or the medical team didn't feel comfortable with him, you know, still dealing with that swelling, still dealing with the pain, trying to figure out, you know, Kenny Atkinson said after the game that they don't want Darius at 50 or 60%, right? They want Darius as close to 100% as possible. So for me, the big thing that I'm going to watch tonight is does he come out and warm up? Now, if he does warm up, that does not guarantee he's going to play. I think we got to watch to see how he's moving. I'll give you a little more insight.
that.
Hold on, I got alarms going off all over the place here. I was told that so he went full go on Friday, just trying to keep track of my days here. He went full go with the team and did a full contact, like high-intensity practice on Friday. And I was told there was like parts of it that he looked good and parts of it he looked like a dude who's struggling with a foot injury. And as I said, like, it's hard for him to like push off and do things that make him successful because of that toe. Quickly on the other guys, you know, I think they're going to have to wake up this morning and wait to find out how Evan's ankle's doing. There's concern, you know, and Kenny Atkinson said it yesterday at his media availability. There's real concern that he and or DeAndre Hunter can go. Now, little curiosity here. Kenny Atkinson said in his media availability very publicly that it's a dislocated thumb on the injury report that came out at 5:30 last night. The team is listing DeAndre Hunter as a sprained thumb. Not a doctor, but to me, that's two very different things. I would think a sprain is better than a dislocation. But either way, a shooting hand, that's a problem. So I think we got to wait and see how all three of these guys are today.
Jared Greenberg, excellent insights, some great reporting. And because you were there and, you know, it's not like there isn't some gamesmanship going on this time of year. I mean, Rick Carlisle, heck, before the game the other day said, oh, yeah, Garland's definitely going to play. So obviously, you know, locker rooms don't even know what's going on with the other locker room. It's playoff time, so the media might not know a ton. So I got to ask you, just by evaluating maybe body language and the vibes of a locker room, like what were you getting from Darius at that time? And conversely, at the end of the game, with everybody banged up and even Donovan Mitchell nursing things, were you able to get any kind of a gauge on how the Cavs were feeling about the status of all these guys heading into game two?
So how did you guys know that if I didn't become a sports reporter, I would be a body language expert?
I need it. Bill O'Reilly, one of the iconic, iconic Fox News hosts back before several settlements, he used to have a body language analyst on to do just
me.
That.
It was me. Don't you remember? I was the guy on the show. I was analyzing bodies. That's what I was doing. I have no idea. I mean, like I told you, when Darius Garland was on the court, I was on the court last night doing that report that you just so kindly played, and he literally came on the court for the first time the other night right when I was getting ready to do my report, and he came up to me and he shook my hand, and I go, what's your deal for Tuesday? He goes, I'm going to play. So that, you know, again, that's a player who wants to be out there, right? Like, he wants to play. But we'll see, man. We'll see.
Jared, delving into the handshake, was it firm? Yeah. Was it a confident handshake?
Yeah. It was great. Gosh. It was one of the better handshakes I've ever had in my life. I'll be honest.
He's playing.
I've actually not washed my hands.
Let's go.
Here we go. Jared Greenberg joining us on the show, TNT and NBA TV. The thing about them being soft around the league, we played the Jared Allen clip. Do you hear that from other teams or other, like, is it another fan base thing? You don't hear that from other teams, do you?
No. In fact, like, people could not stop talking more highly about the Cavs, you know, around league circles this year. Just how impressed they are with this team, the steps, you know, the things that, I mean, you know, I'm not telling you guys anything you don't talk about every day, but, you know, the sacrifices that Donovan Mitchell made, the evolution and step of Evan Mobley. You know, I think people have been speaking glowingly about the Cavs this year. But, you know, there are questions about, you know, just their ability to get past the second round. And I got to be honest, like, I know you guys don't want to hear this, and I'm not saying to justify anything, but, like, let's remember, like, it felt like the Cavs kind of skipped some steps on their way to becoming flirting with the best record in the NBA, of course, becoming the best team in the Eastern Conference. Like, we talk about this all the time. I was talking about this with some of your beat reporters yesterday. Like, it's easier to go from average to good than it is to go from good to great. And the great part happens in the playoffs, right? The great part happens this time of the year. And the Cavs, you know, took everybody by storm this year, and everybody's like, oh, look, they finished with a better record than Boston. They should automatically be in the NBA Finals. Like, it doesn't happen that way. And you're still dealing with a relatively very young team with a first-year head coach who's done a phenomenal job, just won Coach of the Year last night. Kenny's one of the best guys in the league. But, like, things in the NBA generally happen at a certain pace, and there are steps to this. You wonder what's next.
Well, we are wondering what's next about Evan Mobley. I thought he had some opportunities in game one that he could really take advantage of. I didn't think that Miles Turner or really anybody on, you know, Indiana could really neutralize him, but yet only 13 shots because so many of those shots were taken by Donovan Mitchell and Ty Jerome. So let's have this conversation as if we knew Evan Mobley was going to play. Do you think that is one possible adjustment you might see in this game and the rest of the series?
Well, there's a couple of things here. Like, everybody, and you guys mentioned it at the top, you're talking about, like, the physicality and the Cavs need to be tough. Greg Anthony, who I work with, who's the analyst on these broadcasts with me on TNT, like, he made the point, it's really difficult to be physical when you're playing at this breakneck speed, right? So, like, to me, if the Cavs' goal is to be physical, and they say, listen, we're a team that plays fast, right? Both the Cavs and Pacers, in terms of pace of play this year, both top 10 in terms of fastest. So the Cavs certainly are accustomed to playing fast. What we saw the other night was a different level, like particularly for the playoffs. You know, people talk about all these cliches, game slows down, half-court game, less possessions. No way. Like, the Pacers wanted this thing at full throttle, and they got it. And the Cavs were willing to play ball with that, right? Like, the Cavs played at an incredibly high clip the other night. My question is, if they want to be physical and your goal is to prove to everybody and prove to the Pacers that you're the more physical team, can you do it at that pace? Or do they want to admit and show us that maybe they're better off slowing down the game? Because we've seen the Cavs play both ways. To me, the formula goes back to the regular season. And this is something I've talked about for several years with Donovan Mitchell. You can play all you want at a certain way of the regular season, 82 games, got himself certainly on the outside, but in the MVP conversation, probably going to finish top five, sixth at the very worst in the MVP balloting. This is a guy who had arguably the best year of his life with his numbers coming down. I don't think you could win playoff series with Donovan Mitchell taking 30 shots a game. We saw it in Utah. Did not work. Could not get out of the second round. This team, you're talking about Evan Mobley, was so good this year, and everybody that I speak to credits their offensive success to unleashing Evan Mobley. Unless they get back to playing that way, like, the regular season's there for a reason. It creates habits that you have to find ways to translate into the playoffs. You have to, you know, emulate what you did to become the best team in the Eastern Conference over the course of 82 games. The way they played the other night offensively was like last year, where it's all on Donovan's shoulders. Now, a lot of that had to do with Darius being out, but they played plenty of games this year and last year where one of their key guys has been out. You guys know that. Like, this team last year was a mess with injuries coming in and out. I don't know that they can have the same level of success in the regular season as they want to have in the postseason if Donovan Mitchell's taking 30 shots a game.
So, in your estimation, who needs to step up the most then?
You guys, honestly, you, both of you, number one, yeah, like,
thank
do a better job. I'm not sure what your pregame routine is, but this pace of play thing, like, seriously, guys, I can't recall a playoff game that was played at that speed the other night. And it's crazy, too, because, like, I talked to Kenny Atkinson both on and off camera, and the only thing he wants to talk about is their offense. So, I'm just curious, like, it seems like they're comfortable with how they played defensively the other night. Obviously, he said there's some tweaks, there's some things, some adjustments, some coverages, some things we need to do at times. We need to do a better job a couple of times sprinting back in transition, stay focused on those things. But, they're focused on the offense. I'm curious about the pace of play tonight. Do the Cavs force this thing to slow down, or are they going to try and, you know, run a track race with the Pacers again tonight? And especially, like, listen, even if all three guys play, they're clearly not going to be at 100%. You want all three guys to be out there, but how does that affect them? And you got a guy like Evan Mobley and Darius Garland who are dealing with, you know, foot and ankle injuries. How do they play at that pace when you're dealing with, you know, my report about Darius Garland, as you played, the issue is him, like, pushing off and gaining leverage and doing things that a shifty point guard does. How do you play at that high pace with a toe injury and Evan Mobley dealing with this sprained ankle?
Jared Greenberg, who is in Cleveland getting ready for game two tonight. So the Pacers are a confident team. I noticed that they had that swagger. Their response in the third quarter to the Cavalanche was incredible. Did they feel, you in talking to them, that they have been disrespected? I mean, they're 9-point underdogs still tonight. They're still big underdogs in the series.
Wait, they're a 9-point dog tonight?
They still down to 8.5, I think Owen said.
8.5
an hour ago.
Wow. That stuns me. I think, and we talked about this on our broadcast in game one, I think of the teams that are remaining in the playoffs, the Pacers, you know, I hate the kind of word underrated, overrated. The Pacers are the most overlooked team that is still standing in the NBA playoffs. They started the season 10-15, and we're dealing with a ton of injuries. Do you guys know that both of their backup centers were lost in the first month of the season to torn Achilles? Same injury, both backup centers. Like, they had to find different lineups. They had to sign different guys. And then after they went 10-15, the Indiana Pacers had the fourth best record to finish the year in the NBA. So from the middle of December through the end of the regular season, only three teams in basketball had a better record than them. There's no question they're overlooked. There's no question that they're a better team than people think. And it's interesting because they have a different formula, right? Like, the Cavs have a couple of guys on their team who are bona fide stars, right? Donovan Mitchell, you can argue, superstar. Evan Mobley on the verge, knocking on that door of becoming a true star in this league, certainly just rewarded with Defensive Player of the Year. You look at the Pacers and you say, yeah, like, Tyrese Halliburton's a really good player. He's been an all-star. He's been on Team USA. Pascal Siakam's been a guy who's won a championship. He was, you know, arguably the second or third best player on that 2019 Raptors team. But, like, you don't look at them and say, man, there's just like a face of the league type of guy on their squad right now. They're a team that does it with balance. They trust each other. Like, the fact that Tyrese Halliburton and Pascal Siakam and Miles Turner didn't have massive games and they were able to win game one, to me, like, that would be a little nerve-wracking to be a Cavs fan. Now, I would also argue on the counterpoint, I don't know that they're going to shoot 50% from three again and knock down, what do they have, 19 threes like they did the other night. I don't know that that's their formula to win if they are tonight. I know people necessarily in Cleveland don't care about this, but, like, there should be some level of appreciation for who this opponent is.
Jared Greenberg, at Jared S. Greenberg on Twitter. Watch him tonight on TNT. He's one of the very
watch
best.
Me. Watch me.
Jared, thank you for the time.
Are you guys going to the game, or are you going to be watching on TV?
Tone's going. Tone's going. I'm watching on TV. Tone's part of what... can I say that?
Oh, we've got competing...
With him here.
Yeah, competing coverage.
He's on the regular season network right now.
Okay, well, we're exclusive tonight, so you got to watch us.
Your rebuttal, Mr. Lowe.
I will come down. I want to see a true body language expert in the flesh. This is a huge opportunity. Thank you, Jared.
Come on down.
Jared, thank you.
And listen, if that handshake is not fantastic from you tonight, I'm going to let everybody know.
There needs to be a picture between the two rivals coming together. Thank you very much, Jared.
Appreciate you guys.
Jared Greenberg, NBA TV, TNT, outstanding stuff from him. All right. That is Jared Greenberg, NBA TV, TNT. He will be on the sidelines of tonight's game two, talking about the Cavaliers. And that is a very interesting case. It's like you went from good to great, or average to great, and you didn't really get past good. I'm like, well, I thought they were really good last year, but it's interesting how the rest of the NBA sees, like, skipping steps, going to from what?
Yeah, I don't agree with him.
You don't?
Well, no.
I don't think he's – I think he's saying what the other teams
in the NBA are
saying.
I think that's just
a
guy that's not in Cleveland every day, and I know he pays attention to the league.
Wow.
But we went from, you know, when LeBron left the second time to they won, like, 18 games, right? And then they worked into the play-in spot and got knocked out of that. They – I think they came in the seventh spot and ended up not making the playoffs from it to first round to second round. I feel like they've done every single step along the way.
Yeah.
It just maybe the regular season, the having what they had two runs of 15 plus wins this year.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that's the step skipping where they went to playing great regular season or getting the wins when maybe they were losing them in the past. But
I'm not going to argue for Jared Greenberg's sake because I kind of like where I like how spicy you're getting over this. I like
in the hotel later.
Well, that sounds fun to me.
I'll meet you where you live or for the moment.
Later. There was a venerable football reporter, real quick, and I had a guy I was hosting. Should I tell that story? I had a guy I was hosted with who one time was like, yeah, I will see you. I'll see it. I'll see you in the press box later. They're like, I'm going to fight you.
Boom. Yeah. There you go.
I was like, whoa, this is getting good.
I'm sending my consigliere, Anthony Lima, tonight.
I don't know what's going
to
happen.
Down the sideline.
I was sitting there going, I don't know what's going to happen on the football field, but I bet it ain't going to be as entertaining as this. This is some good stuff right here. This is some heat. Okay, going back to what Jared Greenberg said. I think that Jared Greenberg is just sharing the opinion of a lot of the other teams. Like, this is what makes the regular season such a moving target, is I think that the rest of the league is sitting there going, you haven't been tested. And I think a Cavs fan would go, Bolsheviks, we haven't been tested.
Because they got the one seed and got to play the crappy Tone. Miami Heat?
Tone. Or Owen. Sorry, I'm used to arguing with Tone over there. Owen, I get it. Like, I think a Cavs fan will go, what
they
about...
They played too well and now they don't get tested.
No, I think what they're saying is... Okay, New York before, last year it was Boston, yeah. This year, like, hey, you got a bunch of teams that are kind of sucking up the room. The West was tougher than the East this year. There were a lot more knife fight Western Conference games than there were in the East. I'm just saying, like, I see where he's coming from, what other teams could be saying, because they're the ones that are supposed to have the inside knowledge.
Let's go root for the other
teams. I'm not rooting for the other teams. I'm just pointing it out that they would think this way. And for us, it's like, well, we've earned the right to have the number one seed and to play a team that's checked out like the Miami Heat. But for them, it's like, well, here we are. Did we or did we not have to get used to the physicality of playoff basketball on Sunday? Yes, we did. Indiana was already ready for it, even though it was a five-game series. Milwaukee wasn't checked out. They were banged up. They weren't good enough.
I do think that there was no bigger leap in competitiveness in any of these series than what we just saw with the Cavs going from the Miami series to Indiana. Not that they are the Detroit Pistons of the 80s. We're not calling them the bad boy Pistons.
Right. Uh-huh.
But just in comparison, you played against a team in Miami that did not have a point guard, that did not really want to be there. And in fact, their one defensive stalwart, Bam, he couldn't be bothered to come over and help or do anything. He was not going to protect the rim, the one thing he does really well. They were done. So this was a huge leap for the Cavs. They were not ready.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the coach of the year, Kenny Atkinson, it is his job to get those guys ready to start. And all I heard at the end of the game was, pace and physicality. It's like, okay, did you guys not watch any film?
And for some folks in the league, I think that they think that that's going to be an excuse. And they have to rectify that tonight. Can I say one little thing? One little thing since you... wanted me to post a retraction of something that I knew was true.
Let's get this.
So there's a man named Greg Gabriel, who's a longtime NFL scout, who had said the Nick Chubb rumors came from a radio show host in Cleveland. He said the NFC North, not the Bears. He may have been making the whole thing up, exclamation points. One account known for making things up said Chubb visited Friday. No, he did not. Last week, Poles said in a radio interview that if they were to add a running back, it won't be until camp. All the staff want to see the current group through OTAs. There are currently six running backs under contract. That's more than enough for camp. Let's stop the unnecessary noise. And you wanted me to post a retraction. I said, absolutely not.
Well, I just wanted to make
Owen
sure you weren't,
going
to get any more hot water.
I'm not in any hot
for
water.
For passing around a rumor that this guy debunked.
No. Well, I don't know anything about him visiting the Bears on Friday. That's a wild-ass statement. I never said anything like that. But thank goodness for the fine listeners in Cleveland, Ohio, where I don't want things to get too crazy online, but they're going to go, no, Ken doesn't make things up. Thank God. Reflog posted it. Went after him. I'm a radio show host. I'm supposed to be getting in arguments with Reflog. He's a nice guy. Twitter reaction is brought to you by Shab and Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. He posted the Muni Lot Kids poster of me smoking the cigar. Said, you come at the king, you best not miss.
Whoa.
That's what Reflog said. I love it. I got Frisco going after him. I got Dennis going. All these listeners, all these great listeners, go defending
got
me
a
instead
real
of you
Twitter
two.
Posse instead going of, on there.
I'm not allowed to use that term, and I won't. I'm going to tell you what, thank God for them, because they're the ones defending me. You guys just threw me right under the bus. You wanted me to apologize for something I didn't even do?
I just want to make sure that you're protected, Ken. That's all I wanted.
I am protected. That's why I wait and figure out like four different people to tell me something
Cleveland
before I'm
saying
on
one
the air.
Thing, a guy in Chicago saying the other thing.
I've never claimed to be a damn journalist, so when I'm telling you, you better know that I ain't going to say something willy-nilly. I had one incident where I was used as a patsy. One. I think that's pretty good in 14 years. One. That we all know of.
Yeah, that we all know of.
One instance as a patsy.
Just keep your eyes on this one. That's all.